Welcome to Food Neighborhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities have areas the locals love for their food and drink, and in this series we get to know these places. Today we head to Thailand. Bangkok's old quarter of Bang Lamphu has long been a foodie mecca for Thais. Tree-lined street crisscrossed by canals serve as a backdrop for great street food vendors and low-key shophouse restaurants serving up sought-after specialities. Food blogger and author of guides to Bangkok's best street food, Jawadee Norkhair, took Monocle's Ian McKinnon on a culinary tour.
Right now we're in Bang Lamphu, and Bang Lamphu is probably considered the oldest part of Bangkok. It's a neighborhood of contrasts because it has a very touristy side with Backpacker Road, but it also has a very local Thai side that a lot of people think of as quintessential Bangkok, the laid-back, green, canal-strewn, old-fashioned part of Bangkok that people like to think of as the real side of the city. Probably it has some of the oldest and most famous street food vendors in the country as well. We're at a place originally known as Roti Mataba, and a lot of locals still call it by that, but now it's known as Karim Roti Mataba. It's named after its owner. This place has been around for up to 80 years, and it specializes in Thai Muslim food. Everybody knows that Thailand is predominantly Buddhist, but the three southernmost provinces of Thailand are majority Muslim and serve a sort of Malay inflected cuisine. As you can see, we have roti that is fresh from the griddle and curries of every type in this restaurant. They also make their mataba, which is a kind of a stuffed pancake. That also comes fresh off the griddle, and biryanis, including a very interesting goat biryani that you would be hard-pressed to find anywhere else. We've ordered probably what is considered the specialty of the house, which is the musaman curry with chicken. Musaman is actually not really considered a Thai-style curry. It's a Malay-style curry because the base is dried spices, and the flavor is a lot stronger and heavier than you would expect to find in a traditionally Thai curry, like green curry. They also have peanuts, they use pineapple chunks, and it's not so much coconut milk and not very mild. You will not expect kind of the balanced, rounded flavors that you see in a lot of other Thai restaurants. This is a little bit more pungent. I mean, you can smell this place from down the road, so you know that you're in for the real Southern Thai thing when you come here. What I love about this place is that the roti always comes fresh off the griddle, so it's still warm. And the difference between Thai roti and an Indian roti is that it's really flaky here in Thailand. So you can just see how it just kind of crumbles apart in your hands like a croissant. It's really rich. And even though the flavor is diluted by the roti, the very strong flavor of the curry comes through. It's sweet and heady and really also very savory. It's one of my favorite curries in Thailand.
And obviously, you can hear in the background, there's quite a few people come here. It's a very popular place for lunch.
Yes, actually, for breakfast, too. One thing about Thai breakfast, I mean, people think of rice congee or eggs or whatnot, but really, Thai breakfast is curry rice. And Thais are fond of eating curry at the crack of dawn.
Just a short stroll away, past the ancient Prasamen Fort, over a tranquil canal, and down a quiet soi, nestles another Bang Lamphu classic.
We're at a place called Som Song Pochana. Pochana means restaurant. It's been around for over 40 years. The owner, Khun Thieu, recently retired. Here, the original branch, his younger brother has taken over. They've recently renovated the restaurant. The specials here, I'd consider there being two really specific specials. Two very old-fashioned dishes, one called Khnom Chin Sao Nam, which is fermented mon-style rice noodle topped with shredded pineapple, coconut milk, shrimp powder, raw garlic, slivered chilies, and ginger, and fish sauce. But altogether, make up something that's quite light and bright and not at all fishy or overpowering in any way. The flavor profile is supposed to be sweet but not too sweet, spicy but not too spicy, rich but not too rich, with every element on the dish sort of offsetting the other element. And it's a nice surprise. It really is a lot better than it looks. The second dish is a sukhothai noodle, which at its very essence is a pad thai, but in soup noodle form. It uses it as its base the rice noodle, which is Chinese, but the flavorings are quintessentially Thai, with the lime juice, tamarind juice, sugar, of course, because we can't have Thai food without that, but palm sugar, let me specify, and pork broth, and chilies, of course, with peanuts and the slivered green beans that form the signature garnish for this dish. This is something that's actually quite difficult to find, both of these dishes actually, because even though they're old-fashioned and beloved, they take a lot of time to make and assemble. There's a lot of people here, and most of the customers choose either one or the other of these special dishes.
So we have in front of us one of those two. Just can you just take a taste of that and tell me what we've got?
It's very saucy, as in there's a lot of coconut milk, so you have to be careful not to spray people next to you. So you get the comforting softness of the noodles, of course, but also the sweetness of the pineapple and this kind of unctuous, rich quality of the coconut milk that kind of tames everything, including the raw garlic and the chilies. But ginger is really what makes this dish. You have the ginger that kind of offsets like the exuberance of all the other ingredients and makes everything kind of fit together into a coherent whole on your tongue.
Just tell me about the importance of food of all kinds for Thai people. It's very, very much part of the culture, the way of life.
I think Thai people use food and meals to connect with each other in a way that, I mean, everybody does that. It's especially important for Thai people to do it, because once you share a meal with somebody, you kind of have your friends. You have an understanding. They would call it kin mai long. They have no appetite if they have to eat with somebody they don't like. That wouldn't be possible. So eating is a kind of a social glue.
A swift tuk-tuk ride along tree-lined avenues drops us at another of Banglampu's unlikely icons. The air-conditioned modernity of Mont Nom Sod belies its humble origins. But the full house in mid-afternoon is testament to its enduring popularity.
We're at a place called Mon Nom Sot, which is easily one of the most famous eateries in all of Thailand, and the first place, I believe, to sell toast and fresh milk to the masses. It started in 1964 with a vendor in Banglampu, and now it is a restaurant, air-conditioned, with sort of McDonald's-style self-service lanes. So it really has grown by leaps and bounds. And there are many branches all over the country now. So it really is truly one of the great Thai street food success stories.
So in here, it's very busy, and it's very busy all day.
Yeah.
What's the popularity of toast?
That's a very good question. Because, I mean, when I first moved to Thailand, I didn't understand it either. Coming here and seeing a place mobbed, literally mobbed, by people who want to eat toast. Because toast is something anyone can make. That said, everybody comes here for, I guess, the feeling of community, the feeling of tradition, and the atmosphere, which is, you know, happy and crowded. You feel like you're in the middle of everything, really. The really special thing about, I guess, the bread here, the thick slabs of toast, you know, fresh off a griddle, buttered, really we should say margarined, and then topped with any kind of topping you can think of, really, from coconut custard to chocolate to sugar to jam, to what we have here, which is creamed corn. There is also creamy taro. And on certain days of the month, you could be lucky enough to get creamed pumpkin. So really, there isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing here. You can order all sorts of things as long as it comes on top of toast. Thing about milk and toast, which I think outsiders don't quite probably won't understand, is that it was one of the first truly Western dishes, really, to come to Thailand and to gain mass popularity. So it really is the first dish to bring a kind of Western sensibility to Thai people and popularize things like milk, which at the time was encouraged to come into the Thai diet because they wanted Thai people to become healthy and strong and big like Westerners. So popularized milk, and in the course of that, changing Thai diets forever. This is sort of the pioneer of that.
That was author and food blogger Jawadee Norkia guiding Monocle's Ian McKinnon on Bangkok's old quarter of Banglampu. This was episode number 10 of Food Neighbourhoods. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippin. Thank you for listening and goodbye.